This is Disc 7 of the 7-disc series From Slaver to Sonship. For those who would like, we will share information on how you may obtain material available through Shiloh Place Ministries following the message.
When I come here, I'm not here to minister to you. When I come into a conference, I'm here to minister to whoever's the pastor of that church or whoever's the host of a conference. If I go to Toronto to minister, I'm not there to minister to those 3,000 people, 4,000 people. I'm there to minister to John Arnott today. But for 15 years, I was there to minister to the people. And if at any time you're there to minister to the people, you will draw their hearts away from the pastor and you will draw them to you and you'll release an unconscious, hidden defilement in that church, in that ministry. And God's showing me all of this in this fast. And I put it all down on paper. And I scheduled a time. Number four, you must forgive. Number five, you may need to practice the ministry of restitution if you want to see your inheritance. I was terrified to go approach Pastor Miles because any authority terrified me. I had such a fear of man. Orphan thinking. I asked Roger to go with me, who lived nearby in Spartanburg, and he said, I'll meet you there. I mean, I walked in there, I had to keep my hands in my pocket to keep from shaking. And as we went to dinner, I was afraid to eat because I knew that I was so scared. I sent the pages, the 9 pages, to Pastor Miles in advance, to read in advance. We sat down at lunch together, and we talked and chatted, and he was friendly as could be, And I said, Pastor Miles, you received the letter that I sent you? He said, yeah. Did you read it? He said, every word. I said, Pastor Miles, I want to ask you to forgive me for these 11 years. I valued you for what you could do for me, and I've tried to manipulate you. I've tried to control you. I wrote this down. If I need something from someone in a relationship, and begin to think that they can somehow meet my need, I put a demand upon the relationship, and I move into control and manipulation trying to get my need met. And I confess that to him. And I confess the defilement of his church, the defilement of the Ministers' Fellowship, Evangel Fellowship International, the defilement of all the people that I had gotten underneath me in the fellowship, that had gotten underneath me in the church when I was there, because I can only produce fruit after my own kind. And I said, would you forgive me? And he said, Jack, I forgave you back in 1989. I've tried to talk to you about it, and every time I've tried, you said, everything's fine. I lost trust in you because you weren't honest. And we wonder why promotion doesn't come our way in our workplace. They feel it coming from us. And we wonder why promotion in our church with our pastoral leaders doesn't come. They feel it coming from us. And there's not an inheritance. There's not promotion for orphans. You will have to fight and wrangle for everything you can get. Inheritance goes to even immoral sons like David, but are trustworthy with their hard attitude. I will not speak against the Lord's anointed, David said. And we wonder why the church is powerless in our nations, in our cities. We wonder why other religions are turning the world upside down and not Christianity. Because Christianity is all about father and son, father and daughter, mother and daughter, mother and son. It's a father-son, but we've made it all about orphans. No inheritance. And Pastor Miles forgave me, and I went my way, and there may be a need for you to go to pastoral authority. Don't do it because Jack did it. Don't rush into this. But see, I lived in the poverty. I had no ministry. God had called me in 1980. You'll take your healing and restoration to the nations of the earth. I slaved to make that prophecy come to happen. Never did. Then Bill Hammond confirms it. Five or six other prophets confirmed it. I slaved. I worked. I labored. I did everything to build the ministry. And yet no one would get behind me. No one promote me. But I helped thousands of people. But I struggled, and I had no money, and I had no backing, and I had people in my life I was accountable to. But no one would release the inheritance. And that brings us to number six. We're going to have to daily renounce the hidden lies and voice of the orphan heart. Or we can say we're going to have to daily renounce the ungodly beliefs. A couple of months went by, and my wife says, about January of 1988, I had a dream last night that you're going to Poland, and I had a conference in Poland in the northern part up near Gdansk in May of 98, and there could be about 90 pastors there, and my wife says, I had a dream that Pastor Miles was with you. Why don't you call him and invite him to go? He doesn't have time for me. Do you catch that? You see how the orphan spirit uses truth. He's a busy man, been to 40 or 50 nations, never know where he's at anywhere in the world. His time is you can't hardly even get a phone call into him. He's so busy. But immediately when I think of Pastor Miles, where's my thought life go? So the next day, my wife comes to me and says, I had the dream again. You need to call Pastor Miles. He's booked years in advance. He's not going to take time from me. I'm just this little bitty nothing. I'm this little orphan that nobody's going to promote me. Nobody's going to favor me. Nobody cares about me. See how quickly we come in agreement with the accuser of the brethren? And my wife risked being a nag. And for about five or six nights, every night she had the dream, Pastor Miles is with me in Poland. And she kept saying, and finally, to get her off my back, I pick up the phone and I call the offices, and I know I'm not going to get to him. And I talk to a secretary. I'd like to schedule a phone appointment with Pastor Miles. And is there a time that he's available? And I hear her cover the phone up and say, Pastor Miles, this is Jack Frost. He'd like to get with you. I'd love to talk to him right now. Blew that ungodly lie out the door. And I'm sitting there, and I can't believe he wants to talk to me. And he cuts on the phone, Jack, how have you been doing? And I said, well, things going pretty good, and things going great. And, well, tell me about your ministry. Well, this is going on, and we've got this conference that's coming up, and I've really called you because I just wondered, would you go to Poland with me and be one of the key speakers at this conference? He said, I can't believe you're calling me. 2 years ago, God told me to go to Poland. I don't know a soul there. I've been praying for 2 years for an open door to Poland. I'm hardly booked that week in May, but I'll call them and cancel, and I'll come with you. And I go. And so he goes to Poland with me. And I had to continue to cast down the ungodly beliefs. And he flies in on one airline, I fly in on another, and we land in Warsaw, and he'd gotten there about an hour before me and was waiting, and he meets me at the gate, and this man that had been in ministry 40-something years comes up and puts his hand around my shoulder, and he says, walking me out to the baggage claim, and he says, now, Jack, I'm here to serve you. What? Pastor Miles, you're the apostle. I mean, you're the one that this is your conference. You hosted. You're invited. I don't even need to speak. I just want to be here with you. Anything you want, I'm just going to be here with you. And I'm saying, oh, my goodness. And I couldn't receive this guy for all of these years. You see, I asked you earlier, if God put a spiritual father in your heart and you have an orphan heart, would you receive him? As long as he makes decisions to benefit you, you'll receive them. But what happens when he makes a decision based upon his need? Then the orphan heart comes to the surface. And so he goes in this conference and I open up teaching on the Father's love. And the pastors are wailing and weeping and crying. And he's just sitting there. He'd never been in a pastor's conference in Central Europe, you know, where pastors are crying. They're usually, you know. And by the fourth day, about 80 of the 90 pastors are on the face, on the floor, screaming and wailing. Many are going to their wives and repenting for sinning against love. And Pastor Miles is just, where did you get this revelation from? Well, God did this and did that, and how soon can you come back to Evangel Cathedral and teach a conference on that? He'd never invited me back to this big church. Big offerings at big church. I'm used to churches of 40 and 50, and you barely get enough to cover your gas, you know. Well, my calendar's pretty clear. I can come back as soon as you want, you know. How soon can you come to the Ministers Fellowship, Evangel Fellowship International of Ministers, and teach this to all the ministers? Just as soon as you want me to. How soon can you go to Russia with me with our 300 pastors and teach them the Father's love? Just as soon as you want. Soon as I get home, I'm going to call all the elders and I'm going to tell all of them they need to get this revelation in their church. And he goes home and he starts calling everybody he knows in the country. And this little ministry in churches of 50 to 60, just literally starving, barely getting by. I'd go out sometimes for 8 and 10 days and come home. One time I was gone 10 days and came home with $400. Didn't even make our expenses. And he has me to the big church. And I step up in the pulpit on Sunday and I knew I couldn't speak until I broke the curse I'd released upon that church. And I stood before those 2,000 people and I said, before I can ever speak in this pulpit, I have to ask this church to forgive me that I defiled the spirit of this church when I was on staff for 3 years in the 1980s. I was not here to serve this pastor. I was here to serve myself. And I used many of you to get my need to be needed. And I asked every person here to forgive me for using you so I could be promoted in ministry, for using this man of God. Would you forgive me? People broke down crying and weeping. You talk about a conference that week. And shortly after that, I come to the EFI meeting and he gave me the first night to speak, which is always a night of honor at the fellowship of 275 pastors were there, and he introduces me and tells all of them that this is one of the greatest, deepest revelations. It's the word for the end times. No sonship, no influence. Humility, brokenness. Getting your eyes off of others' faults and weaknesses and dealing with everything inside of you that's an orphan heart. When you humble yourself, God will exalt you in due season. And I stood before those 275 ministers and I said, I joined this fellowship the second year when there was 18 of us. Now there's hundreds of us. And for the last 12 years, I have done everything I could to manipulate you, to use you. I've come into the meetings with a calendar in hand, hoping I would get a meeting from you. I've related to this fellowship based upon what can you do for me, and I've not been here based on how can I get underneath and be a blessing to Pastor Miles, be a blessing to Evangel Fellowship. I have sought to use you out of my immaturity. Harold was there. Harold shared a testimony that time himself. And then I taught on the Father's love, and when the altar time began, many of the very elders that had sought to discredit or get our ministry pushed out of the fellowship were the first at the altars weeping and crying. And the one that had taken it as a personal campaign to to really get me removed from the fellowship was the first one there in my arms and stood before me and said, Jack, I need to ask you to forgive me. Because I've sinned against love against you. This man I'd never seen cry before. We ended up in each other's arms weeping and crying. And later he says, how soon can you come to my church? No sonship, no inheritance, no humility, and brokenness. And how can I get underneath them? And that brings us to the seventh thing, the sixth thing. Any thoughts that are in agreement with the father of lies, take captive, cast down. Number seven, as this revelation came to me in 1997, in the early part of 98, I began to sow into my inheritance. Prior to this, every Christmas, you'd get a little letter from the fellowship of churches I was part of and say, we're taking up the Christmas offering for Pastor Miles. I know what this guy's salary is. And I know how often he goes out and they give him nice offerings. And I'm sitting here trying to raise a family of five on $20,000 and they're taking up an offering for him and he's going to get more. They need to take an offering up for me. How many have thought that way before? But see, I didn't have a revelation of sonship. And look at me. I want you to turn to these verses. They are so important. Follow them along with me. Romans 15:27. It's so important. And I believe y'all have already caught this revelation. So I'm just confirming what you've already proven through your giving this week. Look at the middle of that verse. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in a material way. And I began to see this. I have a debt to the people that put up with me in my teenage years. Those that have had teenagers, how much pain have they caused you? Do you think it's any different in the church? How much pain did I cause Pastor Miles and some of the people in my life? Because of my immaturity and valuing them for what they could do for me and trying to control and manipulate because I put a demand on the relationship and I come into every minister's meeting with my IV system. Just praise me. Just promote me. Just give me my inheritance. How much discomfort did I cause them? And God begins to reveal to me that I had no honor towards authority whatsoever. That I couldn't even bless authority. But I was grieved when it talked about in any way. And when they'd say, we're going to have a 30th anniversary for Pastor Miles. And why don't they take all the money they're spending on that and give it to missions, especially to Shiloh Place Ministries missions? You know, that's always in the back. There's this underlying dishonor towards even a man of God being blessed. And thinking he's prosperous enough. But we must realize you have a debt. Who is it that's put up with you? Who is it that's matured you? Who took us in our baby teenage years when we just valued the pastor, when we just valued others for what they can do for us? Is there anybody here that didn't start out as a baby and a teenager? We all start that way. But who is it that helped to mature us? And God's showing me this, and then he yoked that in my life to 1 Corinthians 9:11, where it says, if we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we should reap material things from you? And then he yoked it again to Galatians 6, and turned to me, because this is taken out of context more than any other scripture I know, this passage right here. Because we all know so well the passage in Galatians 6:7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he shall reap. We know that so well, but what's the context of it? Look at verse 6. And let the one who has taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. You have a debt to the people who have matured you through the teenage years, that had patience for you, that went through pain, that went through hurt, the people we've betrayed, the people we've tried to use, yet they continued to be there patiently, sometimes impatiently, because they get their hearts hurt too. But have we sowed materially? And every time it came to blessing up Pastor Miles in any way, I cop an attitude. And I see this. And God again just... And I realize I've never repaid my debt. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow into your spiritual authorities... materially, you will reap. And if you sow to the flesh, if when Christmas comes and they take an offering up for them, you're grieved over it and you send them the least you can get away with, so you still like you look like you're in good standing, you'll reap corruption. You reap nothing. But if you sow to the Spirit, then you'll reap eternal life. And I began to realize that taking up an offering for Pastor Miles and sowing into that is not about meeting his need. It reveals my heart issue. And it's about what do I want to reap in the future from those that are ministered to me. And God just grabbed me. And I sat down with my wife and I showed her this whole thing. Tricia, we've never blessed these people that put up with us. We give to the poor, we give here, we give to the missions, we give there. But because I think they're prosperous, I think, well, they don't need it. And I'm grieved and wonder why don't give it to me instead of them. And how can I give my last $10 to them when they've got thousands in the bank and they've got everything they need? And I told my wife, I want to make our giving, who is it that have been the people that have put up with us through these years? And we made a list. We sat there and wrote it out. And we started praying for seed for the sower. We started praying. First or Second Corinthians 9 for seed. Father, we don't have any money. We don't have any way to bless these. And Father, in accordance with Romans 15:27, 1 Corinthians 9:11, Galatians 6:6, 7, and 8. We want you to supply seed for the sower, bread for food, that you might multiply a harvest, bring increase, that we'll be rich in everything for liberality. And we started claiming this, and money started coming in. Last week, somebody just says, your life has so blessed us. This is not for your ministry at all. This $1,200 is for you and your wife. Seed for the sower. And immediately, what spiritual father can we sow into? And when this began in 98, it wasn't $1,200. I mean, somebody give you $20. We'd take 10 and just walk up to our pastor and give it to him. Then somebody would give $50 and we'd take 20 and walk up to our pastor and give it to him. And then I'd go out and say, I want to take an offering up for missions. And I'd take one of our offerings to one of our conferences and I'd send it to Pastor Miles for his mission trip and what he was doing. And I started looking for every way to bless. I went to my pastor, Philip, who'd been a close friend, one of our board. And I said, Philip, I realized I've been relating to you out of just hoping, how can you help me? I've not been here for my own church. I want to get a, how can I serve here? What can I do with the gifts and talents I have? I'll do whatever you need me to do. I can't be regular because I'm out of town every other week, but I'll be here. I'll fill in as usher. I'll do nursery. I'll clean the bathrooms. Philip could come to me today, a church of 500 or 600 people, and if the janitor didn't show up, he knows. He could call me and say, Jack, I hate to ask this. I know you're busy, but we don't have anybody to clean the bathrooms. I'll be glad to. I'll be right there, and they will be cleaner than anything because it's in my heart. How can I get underneath and bless? How can I serve my local church? How can I serve the minister's fellowship? What can I do for John Arnott? What can I do for Jack Winner? Because if Toronto hadn't been there to bring a revelation of the Father's love, I mean, I have a debt to Toronto. I have a debt to John Arnott. I have a debt to Jack Winter. I have a debt to Philip Miles. I have a debt to Houston Miles. And when I got this revelation, our income went up 78% the first year. The second year went up 76%, 99%. 2000, it went up another 74%. Ministries, finances are crumbling all over the world. Ours continue to climb and peak out. Finances coming in everywhere. We take up offerings for missions, $7,500 among this group of people. Everywhere we go, we are astounded at the finances and the income coming in. And every time it comes in, 20% of our income is going back into missions. 10% of it going into the people that put up with me in my teenage years. Your tithe begins at your local church, but what do you do beyond that? Sowing into the people that have ministered to you. And I look for every opportunity. And God, every month, money coming here, money coming there. I'm sending it to Pastor Miles. I'm sending it to John Arnott. I'm blessing because it's a principle. You have a debt. And we've got a missions account that continues to grow, and there's more than enough money. I'm sending other people out. I'm helping establishing other ministries. I'm getting up. How can I make other ministries successful? How can others increase and I decrease? That's sowing into your inheritance. And as long as I tried to build my ministry, pain, hunger, poverty, slaving in the fields and the ministry rarely growing, the word God gave me never coming to pass. And as I begin to sow into my inheritance, getting underneath, blessing others, I came into number 8. I entered into my inheritance. The word God gave me, you'll take healing and restoration to the nations. Because shortly after 1998, in 1998 of October, John Arnott brought his staff of 35 primary leaders to Myrtle Beach for a week-long staff retreat. They called in advance and said, we'd like you to pray over our staff while we're there at the retreat. I broke down crying. What? I told my wife, she said, I can't do that. About the same time, Sid Roth calls and says, I want to put one of your tape series I've got on Bitterroot Strongholds. I want to put it on our national radio program, and that's in 50 of the largest cities in the nation. He put it on there. It was one of the top ordering things they'd ever had. We've been on there 7 times in the last 3.5 years. Every month I get a check from royalties from all the things that he sells through that. I don't even do anything. He called 2 months ago and he says, I want to re-air what we did back in 1998. And I've got this. All I need you to say is just, okay. Okay. Got a check last week, $1,800. And I get the check and what do I do with it? How can I sow into my inheritance? What of my spiritual fathers, these people that matured me in the teenage years, had patience with me, didn't just cut me completely off, and I should have been thrown away. But they were there for me. And sowing, and sowing. And we can't outgive God now, and it continues to come in. And we wonder why. God gives us a word, and it never comes to pass. Inheritance is for sons. We wonder why we don't have influence in our workplace. Inheritance is for sons. No sonship, no influence. You wonder why you haven't come into the place that God's called you to in your local church and that you know He wants you to move into. Inheritance is for sons. Are you sowing into your inheritance? Are you cop an attitude when it's time to take up an offering or to bless the pastor at Christmas time? And then at that minister's retreat for John, he gets me off in a corner and we talk about the Father's love for about two hours. And he'd heard me testify several times from the platform. I never knew them. They never knew me except for testimonies. And a week later, I get an email from Steve Long and it says, John's invited you to speak at the Father Loves You Conference, November 1999. I broke down crying again. My wife comes in, what are you crying about? I want me to speak at the Father Loves You Conference 99. She says, you're just joking. And I said, read that. That's Chip Judd. He sent you that to pull your leg. shortly after that, the phone rings, you know, and Steve's on there and going over the details. Yeah, you want me to speak? And she said, that's really, they really want to speak there. God's beginning to prosper us financially a little bit, and now we go from the small place of churches of 40 and 50, the churches of hundreds and thousands. And then we go up to Toronto on November 1999, and remember the word God gave me. Bill Hammond, four or five other prophets, own word in 1980. You'll take healing and restoration in the nations of the earth. By faith, I put together $40,000 worth of resources and audio tape series. I told Toronto, I'm bringing in a U-Haul trailer, $40,000 worth. They said, that is ridiculous. Nobody does over $2,000 or $3,000 worth of resource sales at any of our conference. And I said, well, we're bringing it. And I had our man drive up there with the U-Haul trailer. 50 cases, 2,500 series. 3,500 people were at that conference from 40 nations. And they sold $40,000 worth of resource series that went across the nations of the earth. And within 1 year, we've had invitations to over 50 nations, and they're coming in from all over. God Channel gets a hold of us, airs us for free in 60 nations, which many of you have seen. Inheritance is for sons. And the word God gave you will not come to pass. It'll not be an inheritance with you until you learn obedience from the things that you suffered. And then you'll become the source of eternal salvation for others. If I had not gotten before Pastor Miles and said, forgive me, how many lives here have been impacted through our ministry? How many lives here? You would have never heard of Jack Frost. If I hadn't stood before 2,000 people in that church and said, forgive me, if I hadn't stood before those 275 ministers and said, forgive me, if I hadn't called every elder on the phone after I met with Houston Miles and called them on the phone and said, forgive me, and not look at their fault. Did they have fault in this? Yeah. We all have a little fault when there's conflict in relationships. But it's not about unreasonable authority. It's about me. It's about this heart. It's about, do I have the Spirit of Christ? I did not come into this world to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many. And God's opposed to the proud. He's not opposed to you, but he's opposed of anything of an orphan heart in you that tries to exalt itself, promote itself. Anything of self-assertion in you is of the orphan heart, and he cannot bless that because it's self-condemnation you've brought upon yourself in Romans 13:2. And so we can hear all about the Father's love. We can go to the conferences after conference after conference after conference, and yet we can't get it. It doesn't happen. We can't seem to move into this because we haven't focused on being a son or daughter. We've had acts of performance in order to earn our inheritance, but it hasn't been an attitude of humility and brokenness. And it's time that we come into our inheritance, but it will not come without a repentant heart that's moved to action. This is what God's releasing on the earth. This is what God's released in men like Harold, men like Norman, others that are on the Shiloh Place team all over. I look at our team and we're a bunch of people that have destroyed our families. You've heard, no doubt, Harold's story. Destroyed our congregations, authoritarian, controlling pastors, ministers, leaders. Our children came to places they'd hardly speak to us. Our wives and husbands would hardly speak to us. And you can go down the line. We're a bunch of basket cases that have followed the orphan heart most of our life. But then we got a revelation of how much God loves us. And then we sought for every senseless act of humility. And we started seeking, how can I get underneath another person? How can I bless? How can others increase? How can I decrease? And God made us one of the driving forces ministries. And John Arnott, I'll give you a quote. In a group of ministers, he introduced me. And he says, I believe in this hour, Shiloh Place Ministries is the most important ministry on the earth today. With the message that the church has to hear before revival will come. Scared me to death when he said that. But where does that type of recognition come from? Down here. How can I humble myself to the next person I meet? How can I honor the nursery worker as much as John honored? How can I choose toilet ministry? How can I get behind my pastor? How can I get behind the apostolic figures in my life? How can I submit myself one to another? The church has missed it. This is the undiscovered country. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. And by this, all the world will know that I sent you.
If you would like to order this tape set or any other material available at Shiloh Place Ministries, you may reach us at 843-365-8990 or write to us at Shiloh Place Ministries, Post Office Box 5, Conway, South Carolina, 29528. Either way, we'd love to hear from you. For our friends comfortable with a computer, log on to our website for the latest Shiloh Place itinerary and news at www.shilohplace.org. Or you may email us at info@shilohplace.org.